Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
What up, what up, what up, everybody? It's Rob the Hammer Hammerschmidt, and it is that time for the Rugby Rants interview. And I'm going to stop short of calling this the Run, Pass, or Kick, and I'll explain that in a minute, because we have the equivalent of rugby royalty right here. I mean, I don't know if you guys realize it, but if we had a monarchy system here in the United States, I'm pretty sure that this man would be knighted at this point. Because he is truly a guy that is so involved and has been so involved in rugby all his life, but does so much for our game that, you know, I think I'm going to wave my magic wand and make sure that there is a knighting at some point, Tim. This is none other than Tim Brown. Let me real quick, before I let Tim have his due, just kind of give you an idea of what I was talking about earlier. Former director of Young Glory, did that for about 5 or 6 years. He is the team advisor for World Rugby Shop, CEO of Strong Lad Rugby, and we'll talk a little bit about that. And if that isn't enough to satiate his rugby mind, a coach and an admin for University of Mary Washington in Fredericksburg, Virginia. Tim, it's been a minute. How the hell are you, mate?
Really, really good. And that's quite an intro, Rob. I feel like I need to do something fitness related, or I, you know, that might be my pass.
Run a Bronco, please.
And all those things you mentioned, they don't happen. Like, there's really good administrators at Mary Washington, and there's really good coaches, and there was really great people at Old Glory, starting with the owners. So that was just part. That's a big thing about rugby. You're part of a machine. So it's all good stuff.
It is absolutely good stuff. So, folks, let me get back to it here for a moment. Normally, we would do a run, pass, or kick interview, and that's to familiarize all you fans out there with some of the personalities that are in rugby, because we see players, coaches, GMs come in and out of the MLR and North American rugby folds. But again, this man is well established, well healed, and a known commodity. He's been on the show several times before. So he doesn't really, the run, pass, or kick interview just wouldn't work. We're just going to talk rugby. And we're going to talk about all the ways he's involved. And there's some very, very neat things that are happening this summer that we at the Rugby Rant feel that Tim is well positioned to talk a bit about and provide his expertise. And in that vein, we're going to start first with Strong Lad Rugby, okay? This entity that you've created. And let me just introduce this real quick. You know, again, you were with Young Glory for quite some time. and we're the Player Pathway Youth Development Director. So the question, Tim, is what motivated you to strike out on your own with Strong Lad Rugby?
Going back a while, we had done camps quite a bit here at UNW with Leicester Tigers. And they brought a certain element to it when you've got a couple premiership winners on your field. And these guys were really eager to help. It evolved that kind of friends I had made over the years in my travels. I don't take normal vacations. Like, I'll go to Munster for a week or Connacht for a week or go to Leicester Tigers and hang out on muddy rugby fields and just try to learn as much as I can. So it really evolved with Strong Lad that there was areas that weren't getting that extra education. And I'm a big believer in kids just playing more rugby. Nothing bad, I think, ever happens. No kid is, doing anything bad or not studying during the summer if they're playing rugby. So we're trying to get more kids with more ball in hand. And I had a lot of luck being introduced to a lot of the guys at Cardiff, and they expressed an interest to coming over. So previous to that, I had had Andy Skian from St. Michael's doing camps with me and helping out with Young Glory and helping out with Old Glory. He served as kind of a technical advisor through a couple coaching regimes there. I've kind of paired the two of them up, and they're working together to provide a we're going to have a camp in Cleveland with the hosted by the Celtic Elite, but it's open to the whole area. We have a camp in Hollidaysburg, PA, near Altoona, that's open to the whole state of Pennsylvania, New York, whoever wants to go. And then we have one in Towson, Maryland, hosted by Loyola High School, that's open, again, to whoever wants to go. And we've got a level 4 coach coming from Wales representing Cardiff. And then we have Andy Skian working with those guys as a technical advisor, and he's a level 3 coach. His school's produced more pro players than any other school in the world. Quick true story. Last year, we had a boy who came to the camp in Baltimore, extraordinary player. And Andy turned to me and asked about his background and said, you know, he had said the boy had come up to him asking, you know, could I go to your school? And he thought he was too old. Well, it turns out the kid was only a freshman. So he's actually he's a sophomore now. He's actually there at St. Michael's playing on their junior cup team. So, you know, talk about development. He's getting probably 30 competitive games, daily rugby, daily routine. And that's what he wanted to do. That's his version of boarding school, is going to a top school in Ireland. So that all came out of him being seen at camp. I just think stuff like that's really cool.
So is Strong Lad just about, you know, these camps and development camps and preparing kids to take that next step or really serious about their rugby? You know, what is your vision for Strong Lad?
We do tours as well. I just got back from 3 Ireland tours this spring. So we had a tour with Fort Hunt. We had a tour with Spalding in Baltimore, and had another tour of coaches. So kind of exposing them to an intensive training environment. I know you can add things later to your broadcast. I'll send you some pictures and their link through our website. But it's super intensive. The Strong Lad tours, while we do them, they're value priced. So I think these guys came in at like $2,100 and $2,200 all in. They're value priced, and we try to do a rugby activity, a team building activity, and a kind of historical educational activity each day. It's a pretty simple formula. I so love going to Ireland, and I know it like the back of my hand. We run these things like a top, and I would do the same tour 12 times every spring, and we probably will next year. So camps and tours right now is kind of my thing. I'm really blessed to work for World Rugby Shop, and I work with a lot of Canterbury products and Gilbert products at World Rugby Shop. And what I'm doing with tours and camps is kind of complementary to what they do. So I really, you know, I hate to use words like that, like living my best rugby life. But I really enjoy it. I mean,
you're living my best rugby life.
Yeah, I mean, well, here's a true story where we're at St. Michael's, and he's just been one of my favorite players forever. And I'm not usually like fanboy, you know. I should have brought the shirt over to show you. But I'm sitting there just talking, and someone moved through the gate and bumped me. And they're like, "Hey, excuse me." I was like, no worries. And I'm standing there, my feet really hurt. Like, these kids are tougher than I am. And he asked me, he's like, "What team is this? What are they doing?" And I'm having this conversation. I realize it's James Ryan. Like,
really?
You know, just deep into conversation with him. And there's so much I wanted to ask him, like, you know, what really happened in the game, whatever. And he's just very candid. And that's the kind of people, though, in these Irish tours. You know, like when we were at Munster, the Spalding kids outside, one of the young Munster locks who I've been watching, it was kind of his rotation off, so he was doing the social stuff. He just came out and talked to the kids for like 20, 25 minutes. And I think he got as big a kick out of the, you know, like the kids going, "What do you bench? Like, what have you ever played football? Do you think you could beat this guy from our high school in a sprint?" The answer is probably not, you know, like Spalding produces a lot of NFL players.
Yeah.
But just stuff like that, I just get a kick out of. Like, I love it, man. And so it's just fun. And I got to see like three or four pro games this spring, see these American teams just learn and grow and go to places that I went as a teenager, you know, and it's cool.
So I got to ask you, you talk about teams. So is this really about, you know, a team tour? So, you know, your youth rugby group, whether it's a high school or even age grades, you organize a tour for them that's going to be able to give them more match time, more quality experience, some introduction to some quality, not that these kids aren't coached by quality, but, you know, higher level coaching. And then, you know, piggyback on that, you mentioned coaches go, you know, is coaching training a part of this process? So kind of a two-part question.
100%. And one of the things that I'm learning is, I mean, this isn't a weak point of America, but these people do this 6 days a week, and a half days a week.
They're professional coaches.
You look at Dublin Four, I can walk. So, like, I'll be walking from one school to another in Dublin Four, or from, like, let's say, the hotel to St. Michael's, and I see a sign and it's so-and-so rugby club, like Wanderers. You go in there, it's a huge club sponsored by Mercedes. Beautiful with multiple pitches. That's like a third level club there. Then you keep walking, you know, you can veer off and go to UCD. You can see Donnybrook is down there. It's all in Dublin Four. It's intense. So, you know, it's like the first time you went to an arcade as a kid, you went to the bigger arcade. You're like, it's got all the games.
Yeah.
I've got quarters and it's time to play. So it's just the learning that happens.
It's like your basement.
For
folks that don't know, we were around beforehand and Tim gave me showed a little bit of his basement. He's got tons of pinball machines and arcades. So clearly he spent some time in some arcades in his youth.
I might have. I had to pick pinball. It's really obscure and I can beat some of the players at it. The video games I cannot win.
Yeah. There's a lot of fast twitch muscles happening there with those young kids. So on the element, you know, coaching, I'm out of curiosity, do you take coaches over to learn how to coach in a more professional environment? Is that something you guys have done?
I've not done a lot of it, but I would like to do a whole lot more. Like, I would love to do union by union. Find one of these weekends to give you a description, like Paul Sheehy, who owns Old Glory. He loves rugby. Like, he loves it. He'll go.
Well, he's an Eagle.
Yeah. He'll go to a Washington youth game. Then he'll go to a college game. Like, there's so many times he's over at Navy and then he'll go to the Old Glory game. One day we saw four full 80-minute rugby matches in like less than 16 hours. We barely slept and we were all on foot in Dublin Four. You can kind of do the same thing bopping around Cork City on some days. you can do it in Limerick, most definitely. You can see some really high level AIL. One of the coaches that helps me out over here, Andy Skian, he'll run every day from coaching one of the arguably the top or the top two schoolboy teams. He'll run cross, he'll run like down the street. He actually has a scooter, and he'll coach Terranier, who is in the AIL final. So he was in the school's cup final this year, and he's in the AIL final. Exposing coaches to that pace and that tempo. And I like when they challenge me. They'll go, what do you think about this? Or, you know, I'll admit sometimes the coaching talk is over my head. Like when they're talking,
no.
Like what happened in the middle of the second half with the shift. And that's but good for me.
Don't you have to be challenged in order to get better? Right. You have to, I mean, I have a friend of mine, a good mate of mine on the wrestling side of things, Dave Maricatani. Love you, my man. But he says you got to be comfortable with being uncomfortable in order to grow and learn and develop.
Oh, yeah. Being uncomfortable was I went to junior high in upstate New York, and the senior wrestlers would come down and drag me out of class to pummel me because I was their weight. That's what you need. I mean, yeah. you've got to get put in a stress position. You got to fight your way out of it. So. But yeah, I'd love to do more coaching tours. I think it'd be awesome.
Yeah, I think for me, that's one of the things that, and I've been involved in high school coaching, and of course, being just, you know, it connect a little bit with the Hounds and with the NOLA Gold. There's almost that gap right now in the United States, right? Of how do we switch on and get more high performance coaches into our pathway so our kids have more high performance like experiences, right? Because there just aren't enough MLR players to go around, and a lot of them are still playing, and some of them go back to where they're from, some of them go into the business world because they're probably educated and make a whole hell of a lot more money doing that. But how do we get people that are interested in staying in coaching, you know, continue to develop their skills as coaches and get better so that they can pass along their knowledge?
Agreed.
You know, I want to just move forward a little bit, talk a little bit more about this camp before we keep on keeping on. You mentioned Cleveland. That's this July 15th through 17th.
At Impet Park in Cleveland.
Yep.
And that's hosted by Celtic Elite. And I'll go out and say it. I'm hoping all the other clubs buy into it. It's not run by Celtic Elite. It's hosted by Celtic Elite.
Okay.
And those guys have been gracious, awesome. Daniel there has been awesome in terms of getting us what we need in terms of facilities. And that will be, I'm really excited about that camp.
Awesome. Sounds excellent. Hollidaysburg, PA, July 19th through 21st. Townsend, Maryland, July 23rd through 25th, and then the Celtic League is running July 27th through 28th. So, I mean, the whole month of July, you're racking it with rugby. So why these locations? I mean, I know that you've done a lot of work up and down the Eastern Seaboard. So why did you pick these places? What drew you to Cleveland, Hollidaystown, Towson, et cetera?
I got two more already lined up for next year. They're just eager. And they want to learn. And, you know, it's not a complicated formula. If after this thing, someone finds me on social media and goes, hey, we can get 70 kids to a camp, 60, 70 kids, what would you do? I can write out a proposal for them. And we try to keep the costs down. All of these are between 140 and 325. I have a policy, like, if a kid just really cannot afford to go to camp, we'll just figure out a price. I mean, like, no, there's been no one that's ever talked to me one of these going way back to when we did them with Leicester Tigers that ever was like, my kid couldn't go. So
yeah,
there's no complicated formula other than these are just people I've known and really like them. And they're just good people.
That's, you know, that's interesting. I mean, again, going way back to when my older son was, I think in fifth or sixth grade, and just a side story, something similar. Like, I contacted David Fee and I said, Dave, you're in the area, you're an ex Eagle and you know, ex Eagles. And he started, Eagle Impact rugby camp, you know, rugby before it was known as ERA now. And I said, let's do a camp around here. And he and I worked together. That's how we got to know each other, worked together. And we got, you know, like you said, 50 kids to buy into this camp for an afternoon. And they got some quality coaching from, you know, current former Eagles. And it was really a positive process. And I truly believe, like, Will Chevalier, and there's a number of other kids that were involved in that camp. And I'm not saying it was all because of it, but it stoked their fire, right? It fueled their flame.
Listen, I've got the, I think I do anyways, I've got the entertainment value down to this. What a kid's value, kit and gear.
Yeah.
Wait, we just give away. I was actually, you should see my house over years. I've been doing this for like 20 years. I find like boxes of stuff and I'm like, ooh, this is really nice. Well, if it won't fit me, I need to give it away. Like today, I literally built a pile that comes up to here of stuff to give away at these camps. Connaught first team kit, some Old Glory stuff laying around, UMW kit, Canterbury samples, brands that don't even exist anymore that people have sent to me. I've found in the garage, I've got 20 rugby balls. I don't even know who they're signed by, but they're going. So I'm going to tell everyone they're signed by Tendai. Every ball is. Yeah, everyone will get something good. If they don't get something good, it's a problem.
Yeah, yeah. I love it. I love the idea. So anybody that's interested in just go to, they can sign up for any one of these camps at f5rugby.com/camps. You can sign up and get involved in any one of these camps. And of course, if you want to contact Tim, if you have a long-term plan about getting a camp in your location, I'm sure that he'd be interested in working with you. And that's rugbyvarsity@gmail.com. So those are two ways in which you can get in contact with Tim and Strong Lad Rugby to get your kids some high-level coaching and high-level rugby experiences.
And tours. I love them.
What's it? And tours. Yes. And tours.
Love them. I love them.
Tours are a lot of fun. That's what I think, to me, that's what separates rugby from a lot of different sports that are out there. Sure, there's, the basketball, and they do a lot of AAU basketball, does a lot of travel, but do they go out of country and visit other countries and play in another place? That's the beauty of rugby. I want to forward a little bit to get into other aspects of your rugby universe. And we're going to do that in just a moment. So hang with us, but we got to pay some bills, talk about our sponsors. You can get kit like this. Sorry, Tim, you can get like kit like this. Shop MLR, and they ship fast. I get my stuff within 2 to 3 days easy. So if you order now, you can have yours by game day. But we'll be right back. We're going to hear a word from our sponsors. We're going to come back and talk to Tim a little bit more about some other areas that he's been involved in rugby in recent times here. So we'll be back in just a moment.
When we pick up the ball, we also pick up a legacy. A legacy that stretches beyond your current team. A legacy built on the backs of those who came before you with hard work. And for those who will come after you, we promise it won't be easy, but we'll be there, supporting you on and off the field.
And we're back. Tim is taking the opposite of a hydration break. It would be, there he is. Here we go. All right. Maybe he's getting some of that quality kit. Oh, he's getting a cola. There we go. All right.
Only the most healthy things. This body. David Fee owes me a pint, by the way.
I'll pass that along. I think he owes me one from this weekend too.
Yeah.
You're listening, Fee. All right. No, I'm kidding. You talked about Paul Sheehy and just how much he loves rugby. Of course, Old Glory DC is one of the owners, an Eagle himself. And I want to delve into the MLR because something that I didn't know you were involved in, and this is kind of why we circled back and I wanted to bring you on the show, was we kind of had an offline conversation a little bit a week or so ago about MLR Rising. For those that don't know, the MLR just had a press release about a week ago indicating that there was going to be essentially what used to be the Rugby Shield Challenge that was done out in Salt Lake City and was put on by the Utah Warriors. it's basically a combine, and I'm going to let Tim talk about what this is going to entail and how this is going to look. But we want to talk about this piece. So I want to ask the first question. What is MLR Rising?
Yeah. So I think the guys in Utah did a great job kicking that off. And I had been going back and forth with a couple of the MLR officers about what a great idea I thought it was and how it wanted to grow. And I had a couple of players from my university side on it. And it kind of evolved into when they put it out for bid, I felt like I could do as good a job with that as anyone. And I'm excited about it. And these are the kind of events I like running. So it will be here at University of Mary Washington. And they're asking all players to apply and raise their hand, all university players to raise their hand to go through this evaluation process. And I think Utah did a great job with it. I think they're just kind of taking it next level and running it from the MLR and branding it. I'm really excited. I think we've got room for 50 to 52 players and another 10 coaches here that we're going to be hosting July 7th to July 13th. If I told you too many details, I'd be lying, because we've got the space reserved. We're working on schedules, and basically my role is to support them in whatever they need. But they've been really good about asking what we have here. They've reserved track time. They've reserved pool space. They have, they're got everything the athletes need to perform for a week in an intensive environment. They're going to bring the guys all up to the Scotland USA game. It's pretty comprehensive camp the way they have it set up. And I'm just excited to have some of the best rugby minds in America here in my home office. I mean, literally from where I'm sitting, the dorm they're staying in, which, you know, obviously has to be air conditioned, it's going to be in July, is probably 200 yards. The cafeteria I can see from my pool and back. I can stand on the border and I can see where they're eating. And then the rugby field is about four blocks this way, five blocks this way. There's a grocery store. God forbid anyone needs medical facilities, they're right there. We have our trainers' facilities. I mean, it's a really nice, tight, walkable, safe area to kind of have like that village feel for when they're meeting. So no one should be riding a bus after they get here. Once they're dropped off, they're it's all MLR 24 hours a day.
So, and I got to ask you about some of the details so that players or those college athletes that are interested in being involved and putting their hands up for this experience know how to do that. I know that there's a link on the MLR. We'll go ahead and share it below when this is posted. But so as I understand it, it looks like signing up for the draft, and this is on the MLR side on their website, signing up for the draft and putting their hand up for this event. Is that one and the same process?
For the most part, I believe they want it to be. And again, I'm getting a little out over my skis here. I do believe if there's a player of extraordinary skill that's like a U.S. junior that's maybe a year out, I think they're encouraging them to apply as well. We had one kid here at UMW that went last year like that. So they want to track them. It was kind of cool. He scored. I mean, that was, I look at it from my standpoint. I want this event to be even better than last year's. I got a thrill seeing Sebastian Schefferman catch the ball about 7 minutes in and just score like a 65 meter try. I mean, that was kind of cool. Like,
yeah.
So I think that gets all teams excited. I would encourage everyone to apply, everyone to make their tape available. I will tell you one of the things from me reviewing tape on the Old Glory side is try to find 15's tape. The seven stuff is what it is, and I'm not going to knock it, but if that's all you have, submit that. But if you have tape playing your position in 15s, know your audience and please submit 15s tape.
You know, it's interesting you say that, Tim, we're here to put you on the stage and to get some feedback from you, because I think, you know, again, you have a lot of experience here. But in doing the draft for 3 years, one of the things that I've noticed is I've gone through a ton of MLR draft tape and looked at kids' highlight films, is that's one of the pieces that I recognize right away, right? The MLR is a 15s game. Like the seven stuff, it's nice. It gives us an ability, you know, for an athlete to see the explosiveness, if you will, perhaps the top end speed, if you're, you know, a winger or center or skill position, a fullback skill position like that. But it didn't lend itself well to understanding how a player plays in traffic with a much more congested field, right? And I think there were some other things that I saw that I would love to see players include on their tape. So I want to ask a question a little off the cuff here, Tim. Aside from, you know, 15s tape, what are some things that players can do now as they prepare game film, highlight film to be submitted? What sort of advice would you give them?
Oh my God, be in shape. I was there. Old Glory came in the year after the league, and I just remember being with the head coach and setting up trainings and just literally, you know, some of the guys that we had pulled in from community clubs, he's like, where are the guys that are in shape? You know, and he wasn't busting on me. He was like going, no, I want to meet the ones that are in shape because they're not in rugby shape.
Yeah.
So I think that's number one. It's really easy for me to say, but it's much harder for someone to be in the best shape of their life and to make sure that you're as strong as you can be. And, you know, just really, I would think come in not expecting to be given anything. I mean, that's a pretty competitive environment. You got 50 guys vying for, I don't know how many, vying for,
well, so 36, I mean, there are 36 draft positions.
Yeah. And there'll be, I'm sure there's going to be people that for whatever reason don't come to the MLR Rising. Hopefully they all do. But so it's really competitive. And I would work on 100% work on having no weakness, like in terms of left hand, right hand passing, how you run your lines, how hard you run your lines, getting low in the tackle. It's funny. I remember when everyone thinks that rugby players are the ultimate tacklers. Like, I would almost encourage it. Some of them, and again, this is very off, is to do a little bit of wrestling or judo in advance, like, because MLR is just so much more physical than people believe it is. I mean, it is. When you get down by the field, I remember I always would like want to get like one picture a game just from my memories at the MLR games.
Yeah.
And I would get down on the goal line and I'm standing right there and I'm like, this is big time. Like, this is really physical. Like this is up there with anywhere in the world with how physical it is inside that gain line. So I think to be seen in the general managers, and by saying this, I'm not trying to encourage anyone. I think there's guys out there in American collegiate rugby that can do it. They're all over.
Yeah. So, you know, in terms of tape, like one of the, and you hit the nail on the head there, you know, left and right hand passing, your running lines. So send a variety of looks. Like I notice a lot of guys just send them, you know, send tapes of them running the ball. Right. And that's one aspect of the game, right? What do you do off the ball? What do you do with ball in hand when there's a decision to be made? If you're a skill position or a front rower or a hooker, I want to see some throws. I want to see a tackle a bunch of times. I want to see, you know, a jumper. What do you, you know, line out, controlling that line out ball when you're coming down as a second row.
Even if you had to pull a scrum together, because it would be kind of artificial.
Yeah,
I think it would be worthwhile for a coach to see, to actually see you in a scrum. I would get scrum highlight tape, and you just I know the tight head's doing what he's supposed to do, or I know the loose head has popped someone, but I can't really see what happened other than someone got popped. And that's the beauty and the curse of Veo. Like, Veo's awesome, but sometimes it doesn't give you a whole lot.
Yeah, exactly. So I think there's a lot of truth to that, but a well-balanced tape, and I don't need 10. Personally, I don't need to see somebody run with the ball 10 times.
Right.
Scoring 10 tries.
To get submitted, and this is just my personal, is someone's playing sevens and they do like the choo-choo walk, and then they wait there under the post for the other guy to run. And I'm like, oh my God, please, like, stop. Like, you're sending me this video of you kind of strutting your stuff in the try zone. It's like, man, in 15s, if someone did that, oh, like,
you get their clock cleaned.
Yes, 100%. So, yeah, just know your audience. It's like,
right,
you wouldn't go to a job interview and talk about a kegger, I hope. You know, you talk about things that you talk about, relevant things that you can do properly.
Absolutely. So let's ask this question, as we kind of round out the discussion of MLR rising. Why do the MLR, and you may or may not know this, maybe this is getting out a little beyond your skis. You're an organizer. That's what you love and enjoy doing. But why did the MLR decide to take this step now?
I mean, again, can't speak for them, but it's logical. I mean, people are interested in this. If you just looked at the commentary during the Utah one, getting guys, look at the most simple spot. Like, if you had people from Penn State, Indiana, I'm just making up schools that have a gazillion people on social media, by holding it in Virginia, maybe we could get a Virginia Tech guy. It's a great marketing move for MLR to tie themselves to these athletes and to their alumni associations and their following. So it's thank you, Utah, for doing it, but this is just a great property for them to be part of.
Yeah. And so just so everybody's aware, again, this is something Tim informed me of. Players, if you can get yourself to Fredericksburg, Virginia, right, then they'll take care of the rest. So that's the idea. Once the 50 have been selected, they'll get themselves to Fredericksburg, and then you'll be put up, you'll be boarded, you'll be taken care of in this experience. Again, going back to a point, Tim, that you made, if there's, is anybody that's struggling with that piece, maybe hit up your alumni, any rugby alumni that played that are willing to, or a couple of them, if they put in a 50 or $100 and they're willing to get you from, Cal to Washington to the Virginia area and get you there, just to put, I don't know about to put their program on the map, but to certainly rep their program, I think it would be worthwhile.
One last thing that I can say, that the guys, they're trying to do something nice with the area coaches, and that hasn't been fleshed out yet, but bringing in the Virginia, Maryland, DC, North Carolina coaches and like opening a few sessions. I'm looking forward to that. I think that's cool.
100%. Well, that's awesome, man. I'd love to hear it. I'm interested to see what happens here. Kudos to Sparksy and Nick Colling out in Utah for getting this thing off the ground and the MLR for deciding to take it over and really put this in a place where it belongs, which is, in the space and under the guise of the MLR. And certainly, getting somebody like yourself involved is an awesome step. I want to turn our attention a little bit before we close out with Tim Brown here to one more topic that I think he's pretty well steeped in, and I think he has some pretty good thoughts on, and that's college rugby. Certainly, as I said, he's top of the hour, been involved with University of Mary Washington, who has taken a huge step by being involved in Rugby East, arguably one of the toughest rugby conferences in college rugby. Generally, without, getting too long about it, give me the assessment. Where is college rugby at the moment in your eyes?
I think it's kind of a reorg, and it's always been kind of a reorg, but it's a good reorg. Like, there's really good people involved. I see the USA people starting to reach out to the leagues and get more involved. I can speak most specifically on Rugby East just because the way it's come together is just what I know and what I live now. I mean, you could run an MLR team off the players coming out of Rugby East each year. I truly believe that. If you go from St. Bonaventure on the top all the way down to Life on the bottom, there's some really, really good schools from the top. I mean, from north to south.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you look at, you know, obviously previous to St. Mary's winning this weekend, we had the two previous national champions in Army and Navy. We had multiple D1AA champions back when D1AA was packed with kind of schools really pushing. I'm sure, well, actually, there's still a lot of schools pushing in D1AA, but you had schools that were ready to move up to D1A, all playing D1AA. So there's a bunch of us that have won D1AA championships going away in there. And then even if you look at the way the league lined up last year, the teams in the middle and the teams at the bottom were only separated from a couple points. The games are super fast and physical. And I this is really not a weak team in the college league. And I'm also really excited when you were asking to be very specific. I'm starting to see some really cool alumni groups rising up, supporting rugby and kind of getting to the school administration. We've been through all that here at Mary Washington. Like I believe it became a varsity sport because the alumni supported it and because the school found it easier to support based on the alumni support. But like I met Luke Gross this weekend at Indiana. Those guys looked awesome out on the field. Louisville, those guys are super organized.
Neil Walton, right?
Yep. I was just going to say his name. I was impressed with him. There's just a lot of schools starting to do it right. I had a good conversation this week. Just a friendly talk with a guy at Iona who's trying to boost it up there. I've been working professionally with the guys at Fordham and the guys at Fairfield. I think all these schools are, I just feel like we're in the middle of a revival, and I think Rugby East is the model that pushes competition. It's got to be competitive.
So a couple of thoughts. I just want to pick your brain almost like, you know, just have two guys shooting the shit about rugby. And because I'm terribly interested in the rugby game and the college rugby game in some sense, because of my own experiences, you know, being involved with not officially, but having a son, having gone through Lindenwood program, obviously one of the top five programs in the nation. Moving forward, let's set aside if Tim Brown could wave a magic wand, right?
Steak. Steak.
What's that?
Steak. Sirloin.
No, come on. You just got knighted. Okay. You're going to wave your magic wand and you're going to be able to do what you want to shape college rugby to take itself to the next step. Commercially, but also providing a platform to close that gap between college rugby and the MLR so we can see more players get ready to take that leap. How would you reorganize it? Would you reorganize it? How would you shape it? What would it look like?
Sure. That's, you asked that question in a very tactful manner too, where I don't have to choose one over the other. I'm making my own.
4 years of doing this, Tim, I've learned a few things here and there.
That was good. DJ Coyle, when he was interviewing me on the side of one of the MLR games, he's like, which one would you choose? Like, he just gave it to me, which I like that style too. So what I would do is I would probably start with three divisions, have it aligned with USA Rugby, continue to help everyone prop USA Rugby up. I would have a formula that would make the top teams in three move up to two and the top teams in two move up to one.
Now, so relegation and promotion.
And again, there's so many reasons why that can or cannot happen. Some years there's more kids. All I can remember is looking back and being myself being so overjoyed that I got to play Penn State in the Cherry Blossom in 15. Like, there was zero doubt in my mind because they were the gold standard in our area. It was Penn State and Navy. There was zero doubt in my mind that our little school was going to beat Penn State on the mall in front of, God, it was probably 10,000 people. At least it was in my mind. And we did. There's so many kids going through school right now that maybe get 6 or 7 15s games a year. They're anointed champion of whatever it is. And they never get press. They never get push. They never get that feeling of playing a bigger school. Now, again, we would have to have more 15s. This is my wish. And I think anyone that knows me, I, we would have to have more 15s. We would
magic wand.
Yep. We would have to have cup competitions. Like, I love cup competitions, by the way. So you're competing each year in a league inside a league. They do this with a lot of Irish schools where someone will have the buttermilk cup or the milk pitcher or whatever. But you would have competitions so that even if you're in third or fourth place, you're competing for that cup inside of the league, inside of your teams. I just believe that's the way to go. And I also believe that when you are playing 15s and you have a master schedule, you're forced to recruit to that number. Now, again, this is my fantasy world here, and I think we've evolved to the point where people's expectations of college rugby are different. They expect that when you're done in November, you immediately kick it into sevens gear until the following August. And I think that's unfortunately why some props, locks, and flankers and hookers getting to their MLR age have only, again, been put. Not only have they not played higher level teams, they may have only played 20 to 24 games of 15s throughout their college career. Whereas, remember, I told you about the boy at St. Michael's who is getting 32 15s games this year in just 1 year. So that would be my wish. More 15s, more schools playing up and down.
So I guess that's my question is, the two challenges of rugby in the United States, the eternal challenges, right? Geography and seasonality, right? Oh, yeah. So how do you work around that? How do you solve that, cross that Rubicon, if you will?
How it worked. How did it work back in the day? And I'm not being oversimplistic. And by the way, like, if anyone's watching your show and gets fired up about the topic, it'll be this little segment we're talking about, right?
Yeah, it's okay. Nobody watches, so don't worry.
Okay, good. but I mean, I remember playing in these 15 tournaments all spring, and my God, were they fun, and they were great, and they were, and they, by the way, they fed men's club because they kept more kids involved. So it's something that I think I can speak from experience. Scott Zavril, who's really active, he'd be a good person for you to get on for a few minutes. Scott Zavril and Paul Santinelli, who do D1A rugby, at least in my area. Mm-hmm. They have done a great job supporting it, getting it organized, recognizing high achievers, and also setting up challenge matches outside of division. So, like, Scott was very helpful in helping UMW play teams they wouldn't normally play this spring. I don't think it's any coincidence Navy and Army have pretty much stopped doing sevens, and they're performing. I don't think that's the only reason they're doing well at 15s by all means, but I just think they know what they want to do and they're doing it right, and they need more reps.
So let me ask you this. Would, again, with that wand, would we just see more collegiate 15s so that players of all shapes and sizes are continuously engaged in the game of rugby, getting those reps and getting those games in, getting those, high level matches in which they can be challenged. And then maybe kind of and say, hey, okay, you guys are done in sometime in April or early May as college students. Go play sevens, if you're so inclined, with a men's or women's club rugby.
Sounds a lot like 1996 to me. and all was good in the world. I think that's a great plan. It's just giving kids more reps, and you know, and it doesn't have to be, I'm just trying to think of a team that does well it around here in the third division. I'm trying to use our own teams. It doesn't have to be like Washington and Lee, which is a great school. George Mason has an awesome program. They've moved up to D2. Like, those guys are putting a lot of effort into rugby at George Mason. They've rebuilt it. They don't have to play Virginia Tech's first side or Mary Washington's first side, but let's get that excitement going again. And let's have those teams play. These teams have not played each other now because of this stratification.
Right.
In some of them for 20 years. It's crazy that we have George Mason not playing Mary Washington or George Mason not playing whoever. So let's make sure that, you know, Virginia Tech's second side plays George Mason's first and UMW's second side plays Virginia Tech's first side. And let's get these things that get alums excited and get sponsors on board. By the way, I got a huge sponsor today for my university program. I'm seriously really excited about this sponsor.
Would you like to make it public now?
Sheets convenience stores. Awesome.
Sheets.
Sheetz. Sheets. They're amazing.
What are they?
It's like a super fancy convenience store with everything you could ever want. It's like Wawa for us.
Closest thing we probably have out here in the Midwest is Wally's. It's a highway gas station, but it's like, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. I mean, like they're interested in the diversity of the program. They're interested in getting young consumers. It's a great fit and they're very supportive of us. So, but like having these challenge matches, I think it attracts a university. It attracts school administration. I think having a standing cup competition, our kids got so excited. We have the Sheehy Cup between us and Penn State each year. I mean, I see kids posting about the Sheehy Cup in the middle of the season. Great.
Nice.
Yeah. So I don't have all the answers, maybe a few.
Well, it certainly sounds like you have a pretty good idea. And I think at some point it's going to take some, you know, how do I say this? And I'm going to be frank. I think it's going to take a few people to put their egos in the closet for a minute, just put their heads together to figure out what the best way forward for American rugby is so we can develop that next crop. I mean, we all know that 2031 is going to be around the corner before we know it. We've got to figure out how we're going to develop the crop of athletes that are going to be on that team when the World Cup is on our shores.
And I'm hoping they can work together. Full disclosure, I was at CRC's last week. I paid my $99. It was worth every penny. It was great.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so much fun. I got to walk around, see a lot of people I hadn't seen in forever, see some fun rugby. I don't think that sevens at that level is developing us on the world stage. Maybe for USA sevens it is. But I don't know. I mean, but what I do know is it's a fun event. I don't think it should go away, but I also think it's nothing that you need to spend a whole spring prepping for, in my opinion.
Right. Got it. Interesting. Well, Tim, it's been a lovely, just short of, well, we've been on, you and I have been talking for over an hour, but a lovely 52 some odd minutes talking rugby in a lot of different areas and a lot of different ways. It's always fun to connect with you. Again, you're so, you know, well steeped in rugby at many different levels. And I love what you're doing with Strong Lad. Again, check it out for those people that either want to be involved in one of the camps this July, because there are many, you know, ranging from PA, Ohio, Maryland. But you can, you know, contact Tim and have a host a camp yourself. If you're so inclined, I think you can make that happen. But even get involved in a tour to go abroad. It sounds like Ireland is a brilliant, wonderful place that some young aspiring rugby players could have a great experience.
Take a tour anywhere as long as it's Ireland. I'm pretty well versed there.
Well, hey, just so you know, you can always take me on tour. I'm willing to go and represent the rugby brand at any time. We
volunteers. By the way, when you're down in New Orleans, please say hello to Cam Dolan. That's the guy I always, when I was recruiting at Old Glory, that's the guy I always wanted. Like, he is the American hero. He's like a professional wrestling star, man. He takes a beating and smiles. I mean, he's amazing.
He is. And he's a wonderful guy. He always makes time super for dude. People.
Yep. Super nice guy.
Yep. So, I'm glad to see he's getting back on the pitch after, working on a little niggler that he's had going on the first half of the season. So again, thank you so much, Tim. It's been an absolute pleasure, and we'll look to connect up, and I'll mention to Scott, maybe have him contact you. Cause apparently, I don't know, you have an extra set of kit that's, six or seven.
Canterbury now makes the big kid gear.
So okay.
I'm a spokesmodel. Yeah.
Well, Scott's excited. I know who will be.
I owe him some kit. So,
all right. Well, thanks again, Tim. Again, we'll hit those touch points down in the box below. So anybody that's interested in contacting Tim or be involved in any of the tours or camp can do so. Tim, thank you so much for joining the Rugby Rant. It's been an absolute pleasure. I wish you continued success in all the stuff that you're doing. You got your hands in one hell of a honeypot. And just like Pooh Bear, you do it all with a smile.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Cheers, mate. And once again, the Rugby Rant will be back next week with another interview. And we'll also bring you a rant this week. But until we do, we will see everybody at the next.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.